Late in the evening, as the wedding reception continued in a downtown hotel, my dad decided that he and I should go out and get a cheeseburger. And after some asking around, it was recommended that we walk a few blocks to a place called Mary's Burgers, where they served a legendary cheeseburger. It was about 10 o'clock at night, so we didn't see many people out in the streets of downtown Winnipeg as we trekked our way towards Mary's. When we got about two blocks away from the hotel, a young man stepped out from some bushes, and he said to us, "Hey, what's your problem, man?" And he was obviously high on something, so we tried to ignore him and just keep walking. But he continued to approach us and taunt us with some pretty colorful language. And I have to admit that only being 12 years old, I started to feel a little bit more than just a little uncomfortable. He had that angry look on his face, and that face kind of told me that he had something on his mind that wasn't good. And as the guy got closer to us, my heart kind of started to race a bit. I was getting a little bit nervous, and I thought, I'm only 12 and too young to die. And then the guy got really close, and that's when my dad stepped forward and stepped in front and turned to the guy and said, "Hey." And they squared off face to face. And my dad said to this guy, he said, "Hey, we're looking for a place called Mary's Burgers. You know where that is?" The guy said, "Yeah, it's just down the street about a block or so. If you keep going, you can't miss it." And then he put out his hand and said, "Hey, you're all right, man." And he and my dad shook hands, and off we went to Mary's for a legendary cheeseburger. So the guy backed down, and that was the end of that. Now, I don't remember anything about that cheeseburger, but I do remember as a 12-year-old thinking how glad I was that my dad was with me that night in downtown Winnipeg. When we face fears or threats that seem bigger than we are, it's good to have someone to defend us, to protect us from harm, someone to rescue us from the things that we fear. And maybe you've encountered times in your journey when fear caused you to look for such a person, someone to rescue you. That's exactly who the men of Israel were looking for in the story that we're going to look at this morning. They were looking for a rescuer, someone to deliver them from a frightening foe. Now, the story that we're going to look at is a story I'm sure most of you know very well from 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the story of David and Goliath. Now, usually we focus on the shepherd boy, David, in this epic tale. But have you ever considered how the men of Israel experienced this incredible incident? How they felt? The Bible tells us that the enemy of Israel, the Philistines, had gathered their army near the valley of Elah and were threatening to attack. Now, this valley was already well inside the borders of Israel and only about 15 miles from the city of Bethlehem, which tells us that the Israelites were losing ground. Their army was failing to hold the enemy back. And now this demoralized army had a showdown that they had to face. And with the men of Israel on one side of the valley and the army of the Philistines on the other, that's when things went from bad to worse. That's when they met their worst nightmare. Starting in verse 4, we read, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The staff of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Wow. How'd you like to meet that guy late at night in downtown Winnipeg? 9 feet tall, dressed in battle armor, and carrying giant-sized ninja weapons. I don't know, I'd be pretty freaked out. That's probably how the men of Israel felt. This guy was for real. Verse 4 tells us that he was a Philistine champion. He was what we would call a black belt in battlefield combat. And he came forward all by himself and challenged the forces of Israel. Now, the word translated champion here literally means the man of the between. The man of the between. It paints a vivid picture of someone who comes forward from the front line and stands between the battle lines as a challenger. This Philistine on steroids had come forward to challenge them. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to be a soldier in the army of Israel that day? To know that the Philistine army was marching against you and pressing in. It was going to take everything you had to hold them off. And you're working up the courage, all the courage you can for battle. And then this monstrous, towering figure comes forward, over 9 feet tall, covered in armor, loaded with weapons, and ready for battle. I imagine every man on Israel's side of the valley stopped whatever they were doing. Every head turned to look. They turned to look at the man in between the battle lines, and their jaws dropped open, and their hearts stopped for a moment. Imagine them all standing there staring in silence. And then continuing in verse 8, it says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. No one seemed too eager to volunteer. Apparently, there were no heroes on duty that day. In verse 11, it says, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. To challenge Goliath seemed like certain death, and so they lived in fear because they had no one to rescue them. And they remained frozen in that state day after day. Goliath was a threat that just would not go away. Verse 16 says, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One thing we can say about Goliath is that he is tenacious. He wasn't going to go away, and he wasn't going to be ignored. And so for 40 days, death confronted the men of Israel morning and night. There seemed to be no solution, no one to deliver them from certain death. That is until a young shepherd boy named David showed up to deliver a care package for his older brothers. And once he reached the camp, he dropped off his basket and went looking for his brothers. Starting in verse 22, it says, David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. Then the next verse says, as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Obviously, they believed that the crisis they faced had no solution. And so they had no hope, no courage, only fear. But when David heard Goliath taunt the men of Israel, he said, who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Now, when King Saul heard that there was someone in the camp who might be willing to fight the giants, he got his hopes up. Could this be the one who will rescue Israel? Could this be the guy who will get rid of Goliath? Could this be our champion? And so King Saul sent for him, and David was brought to Saul. When David arrived, he let Saul know right away that he was up to the challenge. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. But David wasn't exactly what Saul was expecting. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. When Saul saw how young and small David was, he had no faith in him. How can a small teenage boy defeat a giant? It took some convincing on David's part, but Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. In other words, all right, if you're that thick between the ears, go ahead and kill yourself. And with the king's approval, David then stepped out from the ranks to face Goliath. Probably 5.5 feet tall, weighing about 125 pounds. He had no armor, no sword, no spear, no shield. All he had was 5 smooth stones, his shepherd's staff, and a sling. No, yeah, did I mention faith? But not faith in himself. Faith in a God who is mighty and who always keeps his promises. And so David stood in between the battle lines. And with the men of Israel behind him, he turned towards Goliath. Now imagine by this time the men of Israel had gathered their personal belongings and tucked them up under their arms, ready to run as soon as they saw this kid, his lifeless body, hit the ground. And then it was like someone rang the bell. and the match was underway. And Goliath walked toward David and sneered in contempt at this little guy. He just thought he could take him. He starts the trash talk. "Am I a dog," he roared at David, "that you come to me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the name of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. But David's not shaken because he knows the God he serves. David is quick with his response, and there's no sign of fear in his voice. He fires right back. "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Then David reveals his source of confidence. He says, "Today the Lord will conquer you." He knows his strength comes from the Lord, not from himself, but from God. And so he declares with confidence, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." And he yells so all the Philistines can hear him. "And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." David doesn't stop there. He's starting to preach now. And so he yells out loud, and it echoes in the valley. He says, "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people." The Lord rescues his people. The time for talk is over. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with a sling, hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. Wow, talk about an instant turnaround, an unexpected turnaround. As Goliath's lifeless body hit the ground, it sent shockwaves to both sides of the valley. Both the Israelites and the Philistines were equally stunned. Then David pulled Goliath's massive sword from his sheath and cut off the giant's head. That's when reality hit, and everyone realized it was all over. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. And the men of Israel gave a great shout of triumph, picked up their swords, and charged after the Philistines. In that moment of conquest, the men of Israel went from defeat to victory and from death to life. Later in time, David went on to succeed Saul as king. And he continued to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of their enemies. David was God's champion for the people of that time. You might be thinking, "Hey, Rob, that is a great story from a long, long, long time ago." And it's true, it is an ancient story. But this ancient story still has a connection to us today, because today we're much the same as the men of Israel were back then. See, we also face fears and foes. We face an army that can't be defeated on our own, an enemy that we can't defeat on our own, in a struggle of life and death. And just like God chose a champion for the people back then, he has chosen a champion for us today. Today, God's champion for everyone, everywhere, is Jesus. He is an even greater champion than David was. David had a great faith because he knew that God is mighty and that he's faithful to keep his promise. Back in the days when David was king over Israel, God promised him that that one of his descendants would always sit on his throne forever. God said to David, "Your throne will be established forever." And there's a connection to this promise and to us today. Because today we know from the biblical record that Jesus is the one who fulfills that promise. For example, when the angel came to Mary, he told her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Notice that the angel told Mary that Jesus would be the fulfillment of God's promise to King David. And then on Palm Sunday we read, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" Jesus is the king that God promised to David. He is the King of Kings whose kingdom will never end. David's reign came to an end, But Jesus' reign is forever. And Jesus is the one God sent to be our champion. Like the men of Israel, we all share a common fear of a common enemy. We all share the fear of death. Now, it may not be pleasant to think about it or talk about it, but it's our reality, every one of us. Death taunts us. It won't go away and refuses to be ignored. It's an ominous, powerful giant that none of us can overcome. What we need is a champion, someone who will step out from the ranks and stand in between, someone who will rescue us. The good news is, today we don't have to live in fear. Because just like David faced Goliath, Jesus has faced our greatest fear and our most frightening foe. He has faced the enemy of death. And that's why he left his throne in heaven and was born in a human body. So he could come to the front line of the battle and face our enemy for us. Jesus told his disciples, this is why he came. He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus knew his mission. He knew he'd face death and win. To the religious leaders in Jerusalem, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. When he said that, he didn't mean the Jewish temple that made of stones by human hands. He meant his own body. He was saying, death can't defeat me. Another time he said, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He's saying, you can put me in the ground, but I'll rise again. I'll defeat death once and for all. And so the moment finally came. The bell rang and the match began. Jesus faced the enemy. They came for him in the night with clubs and spears. And although he had no sword or spear, what he did have was his righteousness, his divine sinless nature. With holiness as his weapon, Jesus faced death. He faced the betrayal of someone close to him. He faced the abuse of the temple guards. He faced the whip of the Roman soldier. He faced the crown of thorns that was placed upon his brow. He faced the nails that were driven into his hands and feet. He faced the hours of agony on the cross. He faced the mockery of the religious leaders. He faced the righteous judgment of God for our sins so we could be forgiven and set free. And finally, he faced the grave where his lifeless body laid for 3 days. It was late in the game. Everyone looking at the scoreboard thought that Jesus had lost and death had won. Even his friends thought that there's time to give up. And so they went to the tomb where his body was buried to prepare his body for what they thought would be his final resting place. But when they got there, he was gone. Instead, an angel appeared and spoke to them. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Jesus isn't dead. He is alive. In other words, the game was over and Jesus had won. And that declaration of victory sent a shockwave all the way to hell and back. Jesus defeated death. You might say, it's a game changer for us, because in that moment of conquest, all who believe and call the name of Jesus went from defeat to victory and from death to life forever. Jesus defeated death so that we could have eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote these words of triumph in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the champion who rescues his people. Just as God gave David victory over Goliath, he sent Jesus to gain victory over death. He came to our rescue and set us free from its oppression. Death is not the end for those who trust in God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's promise to you today, that if you believe in Jesus, then death cannot defeat you. Jesus is our champion. He is the eternal king that God promised to David when he said, your throne will be established forever. He's the eternal king that the angel promised to Mary when he told her that his kingdom will never end. And he's the eternal king that the people praised when he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday as they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the question that we must ask ourselves this morning is this: is he my king? Is he my king? If death comes to you unexpectedly, are you ready? Have you put your faith in the champion, Jesus? Have you asked him to forgive your sins? Have you given him your heart? If not, then I encourage you to do so today. If you'd like to make Jesus your king this morning, then I invite you to say this prayer with me along in your heart as I say it. It's a simple prayer that goes like this. You can say it as in your heart as I say it. It goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I put my trust in you and will follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. If you said that prayer and believed it in your heart, then he is your Savior. He is your King, your champion. If Jesus can defeat the enemy of death, then he can defeat other giants in our lives too, like the enemy of shame or discouragement, anger or hatred, insecurity, anxiety, fear, sin, spiritual strongholds, addiction, or you fill in the blank. What giant is taunting you these days? Remember this: Jesus is greater than them all. So don't try to face them by yourself. Put your trust in God. Jesus is our champion. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you rescue us from things that we can't overcome on our own. And just as the men of Israel faced death from a giant, Lord, we face death all day long as well. But thank you that you sent us a champion. You sent us Jesus to come to our front line, to stand in between for us and defeat death. And we give you praise for that. We put our faith in Jesus. We thank you, God, that we have that hope, Lord, that when we pass into your eternal presence, Lord God, we will have life forevermore. And we will sing your praises forevermore. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. And Father, we thank you that we have such a mighty Savior, a champion. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And Lord, we just bring the giants in our lives to you right now. The things that we face with fear and struggle against and can't seem to have the power to overcome in ourselves. Lord, we bring that giant to you right now, that enemy. And we just put our faith and trust in you and ask you to be the man in between, to come between us and that giant, that enemy, and be our champion. Thank you that you are a mighty Savior, and that you empower us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit afresh this morning. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And Lord, I pray you empower your people to walk in victory and what has been gained for them through Jesus this morning. So Lord, we thank you for that now. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning as we close. We're going to sing about our champion, the one who has conquered death for us. The song is called Forever. And just worship God with us as we sing it.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Wow. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
We sing hallelujah.